run, to the end that you be not quickly shaken from your mind, nor troubled, either by spirit or by word or by epistle from us, as that the day of the Lord is just at hand. So he's calling this the day of the Lord. See, the day of the Lord starts with the Lord coming for his people, right? Okay? He's saying, let no man beguile you, for it will not be except the falling away come first, the departure from the faith, the apostatizing, right? It will not be except the falling away come first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now they say, of course, that the son of perdition, that the saints are never going to see the son of perdition. But Paul is saying, hey, don't let anybody deceive you, that the day of the Lord is not going to come until the son of perdition is revealed. Just the opposite of what they're saying, clearly. So what Jack is trying to do is pervert that scripture so he can have his doctrine. See? But it's clear, nobody can, I don't believe anybody can find rapture in apostasy. You know? It says, it goes on to say, he that opposeth and exalts himself against all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits in the temple of God, setting himself forth as God. See, you can sit in the midst of God's people. The word temple here, by the way, is not the word for the physical building. It's the word Paul always used for the spiritual building, the saints. So we're talking about somebody that's sitting in the midst of God's people. And they are their own God. They're not submitted to the Lord. They're denying their Lord, basically. And, you know, for somebody to preach something like that is apostasy. I guess that shouldn't be termed any other way. It's apostasy.
Probably says he agrees.
He needs to repent because he knows that he can't find that in the Strong's or in the Vines or in the Young's or none of those concordances. He ain't going to find that. He twisted that just for his own purpose, that's all.
I've listened to him a couple of times, only for a few minutes, thinking the next minute's got to be better than this one, but I don't think he can repent. I don't think it's in him.
Well, it's a religious spirit. So we've got these people that oppose and exalt themselves in the body of Christ. You know, you ought to tremble to twist God's word like that. You ought to tremble. The Bible says, be not many of you teachers, for we shall receive the heavier condemnation. Say, but Jeff, man, if he knows the word by heart, you know, man, he can quote it. Yep, that's right. He can quote it, but that don't mean he knows it. Right. It's obvious that he don't know it.
That's in his head.
There's that mind problem again.
It's all letter, not spirit.
Yeah. But anyway, we've got these people sitting in the temple of God, and God's got a way to find out who they are and get them out of there. He's got a way for us to find out who they are and get them out of there. And the falling away is going to reveal them for who they really are. These people are going to justify even taking the mark of the beast. They were already justified their false doctrines. And they're teaching God's people to walk after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. They're actually, as false prophets, they're actually giving the mark of the beast to the people that listen to them. And they've got to come out of the midst, the Bible says in verse 7. Or verse 6 it says, now you know that which restraineth to the end, that he may be revealed in his own season. Well, it tells you what restrains him. The falling away has to come first for him to be revealed. See, these people are in the body of Christ and accepted as Christians, but they're not. And they've got to be revealed and cleansed out of the body of Christ before the body is ready to meet the Lord. Verse 7 says, for the mystery of lawlessness doth already work, only there is one that restraineth now until he be come out of the midst. It says in the numeric, until he be come out of the midst. Then shall be revealed the lawless one. You see, when the falling away reveals him and he comes out of the midst of the body like Judas did, then Everybody's going to know who it was. Then the Lord can come. When he comes out of the midst of the body, then the Lord can come. And he's going to come for his body because it's going to be purified. The sheep and the goats are going to be separated. And the body is going to be purified, ready to meet the Lord. But right now, these people are hidden in the body because there is so much apostasy and so many lies spoken to the body. You see, when the Word of God is made plain in the coming man-child ministry or the witness ministry, when the Word of God is made plain, these people are going to be shown up for who they are, like they were in Jesus' day. They couldn't stand the wisdom of Jesus or Stephen, you know. The Bible says so plainly about him, you know, that they couldn't restrain that wisdom that he had. And it made them so mad that the only thing they could do was kill him, you know. The signs, the wonders, the wisdom, the truth, you know, this is what's going to reveal the son of perdition. Reveal him as a backslidden, fallen away group of people, you know, in the body. But also, God's been for many years restoring the church piece by piece, doctrine by doctrine, from the falling away that we call the Dark Ages, for instance. You know, I mean, the church turned from the Word of God. Leadership was promoted over the church that were not godly. And doctrines that accepted just about anybody into the church. Right? And so the church went through some very, very dark, dark ages. And God's been restoring things back to the church. Like the filling of the Holy Spirit, and like the truths and the doctrines of the Scriptures, and the revelation that none of it passed away with the apostles. None of it whatsoever. Except for those people who were unbelievers. You know, the church is full of unbelievers. And of course it's passed away for them because they don't believe. So, but for believers, none of it's passed away. Lord has been restoring these things to the church. But we're coming to a great restoration. The tribulation is going to start with a great restoration of the truths of Scripture. The greatest reformers that the world has ever seen are about to come forth in the beginning of this tribulation because God's people have a short time left to get it right. And we only got one chance. And these reformers are going to bring people back to the Word of God. Respect for the Word of God. And the rest of the apostate church is going to blaspheme and speak against it. And the Lord's going to take away their grace. You know, there are a lot of people in pulpits today that don't have any grace. I shared an article. You know, I might send that article out to you folks. It's I shared it a few years ago, and it's on the whole top end leadership, considered the top end leader, not by God, by the Christian world. How that these people have sold out to Antichrist. I'm going to send that article out to you. It's very good. It talks about how that the Reverend Moon has bought and paid for the top leadership, what's normally called the right-wing leadership of Christianity, and how that he's got his money in their pockets, and they won't say a bad thing about it. This man considers himself to be Jesus Christ in the flesh, and yet he's bought out this whole top leadership, people that you probably wouldn't believe are in his organization. Won't say a word against him. And the most famous names in Christianity, probably the top dozen or two dozen of the most famous names in Christianity, are bought and paid for by this man. He's a billionaire from Korea. And he started a cult that was commonly called the Moonies. And every time one of these organizations gets in trouble, he goes and gives them money to keep their organization up. Then he owns them. And they won't say a word about it. When he was put in jail for tax evasion, these leaders of Christianity went to speak for him for tax evasion. They won't say a bad word about this man, even though this man is Antichrist in the flesh. They won't say a bad word about this guy. I'm going to try to remember to send this out to y'all. You'd be surprised if the people that have sold out to this Antichrist, clearly an Antichrist, and the people that have sold out to the government as far as 501c3s, same thing. These people are denying the Lord when they let the federal government tell them what they can preach in their pulpits and what they can. What are they going to do when the mark of the beast comes along? And they're going to lose their tax exemption if they don't take it. You know what? They're going to justify themselves. And there's lots of people that have the once saved, always saved doctrine that are going to be right there taking that mark because they can't be lost. You know how many churches teach that false doctrine? In one form or another form, there's many forms of it out there. Many churches teach that. Multitudes of Christians are going to take it because they have no faith. They have not been filled with the Holy Spirit. They've been taught that the people who teach that are the apostates. The people that teach the Holy Spirit and the truths of the Word of God and the powers that God has given to His church, they teach that these people are the apostates. And so what are they going to do? People that don't read the Bible for themselves, what are they going to do? They're going to follow their false prophet leadership right into the mark of the beast. There's going to be a great falling away. A great falling away. But these people refuse to bear fruit. They refuse to have a personal relationship with the Lord in the Word of God. What do you expect? And God is chastening all the time. I mean, we can see that God's turning up the fire even as we speak, you know, to try to drive these people into the Word of God, into the protection of God's promises, the blessings of God's promises, and yet they won't listen. So we can expect them to fall away. History will repeat, because the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. What happened to Judaism will happen to the church. A remnant will come out and follow the Lord. The rest will fall away. Yeah, Terry?
Lisa, I think it's Lisa, mm-hmm. says, could you ask David if he could give us his opinion about how long he thinks we have roughly before it's too late to get it right?
Yes, everybody wants to know that. No,
yeah.
No, I the only thing I can tell you is the signs that you're going to see when it starts. You know, that's the only thing I can tell you. I don't know. I have suspicions, but what good is that? You know, I mean, my opinion doesn't count for anything, really. You know, our opinions don't count for anything.
Probably just a couple weeks.
Well, I don't think we're a couple of weeks. But some people will think we're closer to it than I think we are. You know, I see some things that are going to happen first. I believe that, like I shared just recently, that Jeremiah 25 is going to be fulfilled, that actually America is going... Remember when the man-child ministry started in Jesus' day, the people of God were in bondage to the Roman beast. That's the way it will be in these days. Babylon is going to be at the top of this revived Roman Empire. You know, they're the head of gold that's over the image of the beast. And God's people are going to be in bondage. God's people are going to bondage. God's people, not only that, but the Middle East is going to be basically ruled over by the United States. And the the Muslims, the radical Muslims, are going to keep hitting the United States to force them into nation after nation, oppressing, bringing their power on nation after nation. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 25, therefore are the nations mad. The nations are all going to turn against America because America is seeking to save itself by trampling down nation after nation after nation. And the nations are mad. Well, they're not through doing that yet. And I believe that they're going to go through these nations basically and have them under their thumb before the tribulation starts, because the Bible says for 70 years that Babylon kept these nations under. So, and I believe that the Lord told me that that's 7 years. That America is going to ride the seven-head, ten-horned beast for 7 years. And at the end of that time, World War III has already started. And it's going to be Jeremiah 25. That's going to be World War III. All this is going to lead to that war that they're talking about. And I'm going to prove from the scriptures in this next tour when I go with the Prophecy Club. I'm going to prove from the scriptures. We're going to make a video. And I'm going to show from the scriptures very plainly the difference between these wars. The thing is, let me tell you what's happening right now. Is that, and the Lord showed this to me in 1998. On my birthday in 1998, I woke up. The first thing I saw when I opened my eyes was a vision. And I'm going to tell you what's happening. We only see Al-Qaeda attacking the United States. And they are going to continue to do that. They are going to nuke cities. They're going to do all this in order to get God's behind it, first of all, in order to get America to trample down those nations that have trampled down Israel and are trampling down the people of God worldwide. You know, the Muslims are making war on the Christians all over this world, killing Christians all over this world, and Jews all over this world. And God is making them pay the penalty. He's using America to do that. America is not a saved nation. Only the elect in America are saved. But God is doing this, and He's going to use America to trample down these nations. But when Babylon conquered those nations, Babylon also conquered the people of God and brought them into bondage. And that's where we're headed, folks. You will not be able to recognize America very soon, because they're going to be so rabidly anti-Christian, like anti-Semitic. You know, it's going to be like that. They're going to be so rabidly anti-Christian. And God is the one that's doing this. He's creating, He's turning the hearts of the Egyptians to hate His people. He's doing this in order to separate the wheat from the tares. The persecution is what's going to cause God's people to be holy and to turn back to the Word, and for the apostates to turn from the Word. So God is using these Muslims to bring about or bring America to be willing to persecute the Christians in order to appease the Muslims. And we can see that happening more and more and more. We got a president that invites them into the White House every year to have their Ramadan festivities and stuff, and pray to Allah in the White House. And what I was going to tell you, in 1998, on February the 4th, which was my birthday, I opened my eyes and looked up through my ceiling up into the sky and into the clouds. And the Lord showed me there that there was a secret uniting of the Russians and the Muslims. And this shouldn't be surprising to us. There, when the USSR broke up, there were 80 million Muslims in those nations that split from the USSR. Russia had a lot of Muslims. They understand the Muslims better than the West does. Okay. These Muslims, we think, in the nations that's departed from the USSR or separated from Russia, we think there's a total separation. It's not true. this is just a temporary thing. Those nations are still together in quite a lot. And one thing they are together in, and that is destroying the United States. The Russians have an agreement with these Muslims to attack the United States. I saw it. And the Lord showed, let me tell you what I saw. I saw a symbol written in a bright blue sky. And it was written with very dense clouds. And this symbol was what I thought at first was the hammer and sickle of the USSR. You say, well, there isn't any USSR. That's right. So pay attention to this. Okay? This was in 1998. And I saw that what I thought was the hammer and sickle. The only thing was the sickle didn't have a handle on it like it does in their normal symbol. But he was using their symbol to show me something. And that is, look, the USSR, it may be passed away in name only, because those nations will unite together when the time comes to fight against America. And they are right now. They are right now. When I saw that symbol, it was in solid white clouds. Then it blinked out, and it came back. It was kind of dashy, you know what I'm talking about? Like if you took an eraser and you walked along and you just erased every inch or so of the thing, you'd erase a little space. And it was like that all the way around it. And I asked, well, what does this mean? And the Lord impressed me very quickly that he was talking about in a year and a part of a year. First of all, it was doubled and it was going to be fulfilled, surely going to be fulfilled. That's what Joseph said. And second of all, it was solid and then it was partial, because he was saying to me, in a year and in part of a year, this unity would be completed. And guess what it was completed for? 9-1-1. I want to tell you that the Russians and the Chinese were behind 9-1-1. I know that for a fact. Okay? They are weakening America by a covert war in order that when the time comes, they can conquer America. And I'm not the only one saying this, folks. There are people that have had this revelation, gotten this revelation. Listen, the United States... Let me find some of my paperwork here. Hold on just a second. I'm going to read something to you. Okay. Listen to what... You know, they're trying to find out where the money's coming from for Al-Qaeda. They're running their money down fast as they can. Let me tell you some things that they have found out. Okay. In a WorldNet Daily article entitled Al-Qaeda Financing Plan with Blue Chip Securities, posted on May the 2nd, 2004, we can see that Russia and China are covertly supporting Al-Qaeda to make war on the United States. For instance, Al-Qaeda is financing its worldwide terror operations by investing in blue chip Australian stocks with the assistance of Beijing's Secret Service. Citing information from Britain's M16 and European Intelligence Services, Gordon Thomas, security correspondent for the London Sunday Express, writes that bin Laden's organization investment strategy includes leading technology and defense corporations in Australia, Singapore, and other Pacific Rim countries. Billions earned through illegal drug dealings with China's SIS, their secret service, are being laundered into the stock market through banks in Australia, Japan, Germany, and Ireland. The article appears in today's Melbourne Sunday Herald. Thomas cites Brian McAdams, a former Canadian Foreign Service officer, who worked closely with the FBI to identify some 3,000 U.S. companies that are fronts for the CSIS, that's China's Secret Service. 3,000 U.S. companies that they've got their hands in, okay? Or have financial links to Al-Qaeda. Only now are Western intelligence agencies becoming aware of the links that CSIS has with drugs, money laundering, and the support it provides for the terrorists. We are talking billions of dollars, McAdams said. The U.S. is continuing to seek cooperation from PLA Senior Colonel Zhu Junping, who defected to the United States in December 2000 while visiting New York City with a Chinese military delegation. According to Gordon, Zhu described meetings with bin Laden where Al-Qaeda and the SIS discussed their investment plan. Al-Qaeda has also been beneficiary of the spying done by Richard Hansen, the FBI employee who worked for the KGB. Hansen sold the Promise software program used by the U.S. intelligence to the Russians, who in turn sold a copy to bin Laden. This has enabled them, their terror organization, to move money and cover their tracks. Listen to this. There is a Chinese military manual that came out 3 years ago. The CIA interpreted this Chinese military manual. It was called Unrestricted Warfare. And it shows how a weak nation can destroy the United States by covertly attacking the social, economic, and political system. The social and political attacks could point to what the angel told Dimitri Duman. He said that communists would start a civil war in this country to weaken it for an invasion. You know, let me point out something else to you. He says, before 9-1-1, let's see, 3 years before 9-1-1, Unrestricted Warfare, this Chinese manual, suggested that bombing the World Trade Center would be beyond the hearing and understanding of the U.S. military. Here's an excerpt from that book that was translated by the CIA. It says, whether it be intrusions of hijackers, a major explosion at the World Trade Center, quote, or a bombing attack by bin Laden, all of these are greatly exceed the frequency bandwidths understood by the American military. In other words, they figured they could covertly attack the United States and get away with it, since they were using proxies to do it, right? Listen to this. Admiral Thomas Moore, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said that Unrestricted Warfare reveals China's game plan in its coming war with America. Well, obviously, it's started, okay? Major General John Singlov, former Chief of Staff, said the 9-1-1 attacks may just be the beginning. Many terrorist nations and groups will try to imitate this operation, and China's war book, Unrestricted Warfare, will be their text. They can use, this is my statement by the way, they can use the militant Muslims to war against the United States and remain relatively safe from retribution. See, China and Russia are already making war with the United States. They're just using the Muslims. They're paying them to do this. Let me tell you this. Let me give you this little tidbit here. That's what the Lord was showing me in 1998 on my birthday. Here's a man that saw it 12 years before 9-1-1. This is David Taylor. He got a revelation. And I'll read this little article to you. It says, David Taylor was shown in a dream that George Bush Jr. would be president when Russia begins attacking the United States. The war will not begin with nuclear missiles, but an attack on the U.S. financial centers. There it is. He saw the World Trade Center bombing, and that Russia will pay terrorists to create a diversion, covertly using them to bomb America and other countries. Years later, on 9-1-1, he was 2 hours from New York during a crusade, and the Lord sent him to the World Trade Center. And they arrived there about 2 a.m., began circling it. He told people with him that God had showed him that the terrorists were going to bomb the building, and the Lord told him to leave. And he also told him that they were assigned by Russia to do that. and the Lord told them to leave, and by the time they got their hotel room, the first plane had flown into the building. Well, you know, I know that that's the truth. I also know that there's a lot of paranoia going on out there, because the Lord told me a couple of 3 years ago that spirits of paranoia were going to stir up His people to fight against the government. And we see that happen because you hear all kinds of stuff on the internet, you know. But God is revealing things to people, truths to people. Listen, the war has already started. World War III has already started. And the terrorists are attacking the United States, and they're just started. They ain't through yet. They're going to keep hitting the United States. They're going to do a lot more damage than 9-1-1, a lot more damage. Millions and millions are going to die at their hands before it's over. You understand what I'm saying? They're going to bring in biological weapons into this country before the end. Before Russia and China actually attack America, America will be very weak and like a third world nation. And then they're going to just walk all over America. Okay. But the Russians and the Chinese are making the smartest war that anybody could make against America. They're using somebody else to do it. They're paying them to do it. They're giving them intelligence to do it. They're giving them weapons to do it. I mean, if America wants to go find somebody who's got weapons of mass destruction that they're putting into the hands of the terrorists, they need to go to Russia and China. That's where a lot of it's coming from, right there. They said they lost their suitcase. Listen, they lost these suitcase nuclear weapons. Come on now. They didn't lose them. They know what they're doing. They covered their tracks. You see, they're doing it. Well, that's what the Lord showed me. The hammer and crescent are the symbol. Crescent is, of course, the symbol of the Muslims. And the USSR may be gone in name only. The Soviet, the Federation, the Russian Federation, by the way, is going to involve these same Muslim countries that departed from them in the first place. You know, the crescent is on all the Muslim flags. The crescent represents the Muslims. They are united. The Lord showed me in a year and part of a year from 1998, February 1998, that unity would be complete. And guess what? It was complete for 9-1-1. And the Russians knew about 9-1-1 before it happened. Because I read articles from their newspapers and conferences that people spoke to the Russian people in, where they warned them to get their money out of the stock market because the powers that be were going to bring this attack on America. And they were involved in it. And they knew about it. So, you see, the war's already started. But it isn't the war that we expect. You know, it's the war with the Muslims. You know, these Muslims are going to keep attacking America, and America's going to keep going against them on their own turf in an attempt to make the war be over there instead of over here. See? And by the time this is over, the whole world's going to hate America because of the judgment that this is going to bring upon the world. The whole world is going to hate America. And I asked the Lord years ago, Lord, what would make the whole world rise up against America and destroy her, as the 10 kings will obviously do in the end of the tribulation period? And this is it. This is what's going to cause it. America's going to keep throwing its weight around in order to try to save its neck. And look who's behind a lot of it, folks. Ignorant Christians. You know, I'm not worried about America doing this, because I know that the Lord is doing this. See, I'm not fighting against it, because I know that the Lord is doing this. God's going to use America, He's going to use the militant Muslims, and He's going to use all this to bring a persecution against the Christians. Because without it, the first verse we read, Isaiah 26, without this, God's people are not going to listen. They're not going to be righteous without it. This persecution, this judgment, this wilderness has got to come. And God's designed it specifically for us. I mean, He's working everything on this earth for us. We're a special, special people here. Yes, Terry?
We had a question a while back.
A while back, I'm sorry.
Okay. My hands are losing feelings. It was just a question asking, how will we know for sure? It says, ask Dave if he knows how we will know for sure. Lord, hold on. It keeps popping. When 7 years has begun. This is when we were talking about it.
Yeah. We know for sure when the 7 years are going to begin, because I think most Christians who study their Bible know that Daniel 9:26-27 tells us that the covenant with the beast is going to be made. It's going to start with the 7 years. And the thing that most Christians don't know is what that covenant looks like. And we've talked about that several times recently, or at least a couple times recently. They're expecting a covenant to be made with Israel, and really that's not going to be the crux of the covenant. The covenant's going to be made with all religions of the world, and it's going to be made by the UN, not by a man. And when this covenant is made, that's going to be the beginning of the 7 years. And something else is going to happen at that time, and that is the man-child's ministry is going to start. And the great power, great signs and wonders are going to be manifested through that ministry, and great truth is going to come forth through that ministry. Those two things are the main two things that are going to begin the tribulation period. And the fact that God's people are going into bondage. See, God's people in America, if you go to a lot of the places in the world and you ask Christians, they think tribulation already started. I mean, go into some of these Muslim countries, go into Sudan, go into some places like that where Christians are dying by the thousands, and try to tell them there's no tribulation. There is tribulation. Great tribulation. Go into China and try to tell them the tribulation. No, many of those people believe tribulation's already started. It hasn't. I mean, we're so privileged in America to be able to live in peace and prosperity, but peace and prosperity is not necessarily what we need. You understand? We like it, but what we need is tribulation. Tribulation. Through much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom. The problem with God's people is they don't live in the kingdom. And the tribulation is coming to get us into the kingdom, to walk in the Spirit, to walk according to the promises, to walk by faith, you see. So, we're headed towards some wonderful, wonderful things. And great tribulation. And it's all God's great plan. And I don't care what men do. It really doesn't make any difference. That's not really my job to worry about what they do or try to stop them or to try to change the government, change their mind in any kind of way. I don't even have to worry about any of that. Jesus didn't worry about it, and I'm not either. All we have to do is do what He told us to do. And the Great Commission. And seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We don't have to worry about the beast. We don't have to worry about the harlot. We don't have to worry about any of that. See, God's controlling all that for us. And when the tribulation comes, it will be for God's purpose of raising up His people to walk in the Spirit. To walk like those witnesses walk. The witnesses, the disciples walk. See, we've got a great and terrible day coming. The tribulation is going to start when this covenant is made. I can tell you what's going to happen. The UN is going to make a twofold covenant. A covenant with religion and a covenant that we look at and we see in the book of Revelation called the seven heads and the ten horns. That is a covenant that unites the whole world under one government. And it unites all religions under a one world religion. And Israel happens to be in that one world religion. See, the people of God are missing the fact that it's not natural Israel that is the chosen people of God is spiritual Israel. It's those who are grafted into the olive tree, who are born again. Okay? God's not worried about natural Israel taking the mark of the beast. He's worried about the elect taking the mark of the beast. The elect are both Gentile and Christian. And this covenant that's going to be made, it's going to be made with God's ignorant people being involved in it. And
might be in the process of that right now.
Men. They've been in this process for years of choosing out these leaders. The name that comes foremost to my mind is the UR, United Religions, which is a creation of the United Nations to try to bring all the world religions together in a watered-down religion that everybody can accept and nobody will fight each other against, right? They want to bring peace among the religions because the religions cause all the wars. And they want to take away nationalism. They want to take away patriotism because they cause wars. So they want to destroy those three things, you know, among the people of the world. And they're going to do it. They're going to take away national sovereignty, and that sovereignty is instead going to be given to a world government, which has been being created in the UN for many years, and it's evolving into a revived Roman one world empire that involves all nations and all religions. And we're going to be the odd man out because the true Christians are not going to agree with this covenant, nor are they going to submit to the UR. See, we were talking the other day how that the false prophet is a body of people. It has a head in the UN. It's going to be this chosen leadership, which was chosen not by spiritual people at all, but by people who want to get power over religion. See? They want power. You know, if you give religious leaders power, you have created a Frankenstein. Think about in history when religious leaders got power over other people. You remember the deaths that were caused through the Dark Ages when the Catholic Church gained power over people who didn't agree with them doctrinally, and so many people died? Well, you know, you don't give power to religious people. The reason they wanted to get at the top of religion is because they wanted power. They wanted their egos to be built up. They're going to be very dangerous. But the only thing we have to worry about is serving the Lord. And even if you die at the hands of these people, you're going into the presence of God Almighty. That ain't bad, is it? So,
like that man that they just beheaded, the type of old Christian.
Yeah, could be. I don't really know. It's possible. But these people are going to make war against the Christians. And they're going to make war against this country. And they're going to kill millions of people before it's over. Before Russia and China take a physical hand against this nation, those people will have killed millions of people. You hear what I'm saying? I'm saying Russia and China has been in it from the very beginning. But before they physically attack the United States won't be able to respond. They'll respond with nuclear missiles, but they're going to lose the war. They won't be able to fight. They won't be able to defend themselves. But listen, you won't be worried about that. You know why? Because by that time, America will have persecuted the saints and killed many saints, and have them in prisons, concentration camps. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. When the Medo-Persian bear came to conquer Babylon, they were liberators for the Jews who were in bondage in Babylon. They liberated, listen to me, they liberated the Jews. Cyrus, who led the Medo-Persian bear armies, that's what Daniel called them, the bear, in Daniel chapter 7. Now, we know the bear today is Russia, right? Well, now, look what's happening here. The Medo-Persians were made up of the Kurds, who are spread throughout the Middle East, the Medes, right? The Persians were the Elamites, who are spread throughout Iran and Pakistan and other nations, you know. And the Arabs, these three groups of Muslim peoples, who are many descended from the Medo-Persian bear, are uniting with the modern-day bear called Russia to destroy America. Who was it that destroyed Babylon? The bear. Remember, Dimitri and quite a few other people had visions of a big bear attacking America. Well, it's happening. It's happening. It's not over yet, but it's happening. And the ancient bear is being united with the modern bear to attack America. But listen to this. When Cyrus came at the head of the Medo-Persian bear to attack Babylon, he came and set the people of God free to go back and build the New Jerusalem. Listen to me. God called Cyrus his Messiah, his anointed. He said he anointed Cyrus to do this job. Okay? When the Russians attack the United States, they are going to be persecuting and killing Christians and keeping them in bondage and concentration camps. You're not going to be worried about them attacking America. Right now they're praying, God save America from the Russians. Well, believe me, before it's over, we're going to realize that our kingdom is not of this world. You know what Jesus said? My kingdom is not of this world. Well, wait a minute, what about Israel? No, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight that I wouldn't be delivered over to these people. You see, Jesus wasn't counting his kingdom being natural Israel. They were persecutors of the saints too, along with the Roman beast, you see. He wasn't counting his kingdom of that worldly. We shouldn't count our kingdom as being the United States. That is ludicrous. The United States, if you follow in the scriptures what they are going to do to the saints, you're going to realize that our kingdom is not of this world either. We don't belong to the United States. We belong to the kingdom of God. We're just sojourners passing through. You know, we're looking for a city whose builder is God, that has foundations, and that city is our New Jerusalem city. Well, Cyrus set the people of God free from Babylon to go to the New Jerusalem city. You say, well, wasn't any New Jerusalem city back? Yeah, there was, because Babylon had destroyed apostate Jerusalem. And when they went back to their land, they rebuilt a new Jerusalem because the first one had been destroyed. And so God showed me the type there. That when the Lord, notice, it was the Messiah, Cyrus, who led the bear to conquer Babylon. The type is, when the Lord comes back, he's going to lead the bear to attack the United States, to deliver his people to go to the New Jerusalem. You see what I'm talking about? All the types and shadows are there, very clear. That's what's going to happen. And yet, the problem with Christians today is they're very patriotic. But they're patriotic in whatever nation they live in. You understand? When it was in Germany, a lot of Christians sided with Hitler. They were patriotic. See, in America, we don't realize that America is not a Christian nation. And there is no such thing as a Christian nation except for our nation. You are one nation, Peter said. one holy nation, an elect generation, a chosen generation. See, we belong to one nation, just one nation, and it's not America. See? But America is going to take authority over God's people as the head, as the harlot that rides on the back of the seven-head, ten-horned beast. They're going to take authority over God's people worldwide. And you know what? We're about to be forced into a one-world economic system. It's not just a one-world government, one-world religion, but a one-world economic system. The destructions that are coming upon America are to destroy this economic system so that another one can take its place. And so everything is working to bring to pass this wilderness experience that God's people are going to find themselves in. They're hated by the whole world. They can turn to nobody for help, nobody for salvation, but God Almighty. This is God's plan. See, everybody's, you know, looking at all the conspiracies, the Illuminati, you know, that's just a bunch of baloney. You don't have to worry about any of that whatsoever. God's controlling that, you see. What we need to do is serve God, confess Him before men, bring His gospel to men, seek first His kingdom. We don't have to worry about any conspiracies, because how many of you know that God Almighty was in control in Egypt? Pharaoh was just a figurehead. God Almighty was in control. And He even hardened Pharaoh's heart for the very purpose so that He could show the signs and wonders to set God's people free. So, God is in control. And He's going to have a Passover. He's going to save His people from this world. See? But the whole world's going to hate us before it's over. And it's not going to take long for them to do it either. That's where we're headed. But we should be joyful in the Lord that He's going to have His people perfected, purified, walking in the steps of Jesus. We're going to see Jesus on the earth before He comes in the clouds. We're going to see Him in His people. That's the great thing about it. God's plan is perfect, and it will come to pass. And I'm excited about it. And I know that a lot of Christians are going to lose their lives, but you know, death is just for a moment. You know, and then you're in eternity with God. You know, and I know a lot of Christians are not going to die. They'll be alive and remain through this whole thing, you know, at the coming of the Lord. But God's plan is going to be wonderful. The people you and I have been praying for, they're going to come to the Lord in this thing. Don't worry about the things that are happening in the world, and even the nuclear bombs that are going to go off in the United States and things like that, the biochemical weapons that they're going to loose on. Don't worry about any of that. The Lord is using all of this to bring these people that we've been praying for years into the kingdom. There's going to be a great revival. There's going to be a great falling away, but there's going to be a great revival. Every time there's a falling away, by the way, there is a revival. Because when some people give up their birthright, some others step forward and pick it up. You know, when the Jews gave up their birthright, when they blasphemed the Holy Spirit and spoke against the Word of God and crucified Jesus Christ, when they gave up their birthright, the Gentiles stepped forward and picked Him up. You see? So that's what's going to happen in these days too. And there is going to be a revival. There is going to be a falling away, and there is going to be a revival.
So has He put an end to people that He knows will do this, and to the government here?
Yeah. He's got people in government to do certain jobs. Bush is the man for the job. He's the man for the job that God's doing right now.
But isn't he basically a yes man for the group that's doing all this?
Well, if you really want to look behind the scenes, he's a yes man for God. God's using him to do exactly what He wants done. And so the Illuminati is using him, but that's peripheral stuff. You know, but basically, God is using him to trample down these nations. And when he gets through, they will trample down America. And the Christians don't realize that. The Christians are behind Bush quite a bit, but they don't realize where all this is going. And it's just ignorance. Christians don't go out and kill people anyway. Christians don't do that. Christians don't go make war on people. James said war is from the lusts of their flesh. It's not a work of God. Christians don't make war. And yet people say he's a Christian. Well, if he was really a Christian, you can't imagine Jesus guiding this country to do such things. But God can use the man, and he is using the man to do what he is doing. And he's doing it for us. So, I mean, I'm not saying that you don't have some kind of relationship with the Lord. There is a lot of people out there that have some kind of relationship with the Lord that are not Christian. You know what I mean? Christian means Christ-like. They're not Christian. So, maybe Christians still have to grow up to learn to deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow Jesus, and realize that, their kingdom is not of this world. President Bush's job is to defend the United States and to speak for the United States and so on and so forth. But we are a kingdom inside the United States that is not to be unequally yoked with the unbelievers. He's got a job that's a worldly job. Okay? If you had a leader over Christianity, that leader couldn't say anything like what Bush is saying. I mean, we, first of all, we're to take up our cross, deny ourselves, lose our life in this world, love our enemies, do good to them that despitefully use us. All of our laws are totally different from the world's. But Bush is pushing the world's laws. And that's not the kingdom. So, but we can take joy in the fact the Lord is working everything together for our good. Praise be to God. And He is going to bring us into the image of Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. And He's going to use all these peripheral situations to do that. And I believe that Bush is like Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nebuchadnezzar knew God. God revealed himself to him. And yet he didn't know him in the way he was going to know him after his 7 years of losing his mind to the mind of a beast. Now, the leadership in America is going to lose their mind for 7 years. Just like that parable in Daniel's, where Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind for 7 years and ate the grass of the field. The Bible says all flesh is as grass. We're not going to be able to recognize America as the nation we've known in the coming tribulation. And yet after the 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar came to himself and realized who the Lord really was and that he was the one ruling and using him over the nations. And people that have a relationship with the Lord that's as shallow as President Bush may one day come to really know the Lord. Some of them will really come to know the Lord, like Nebuchadnezzar. At any rate, they are going to persecute the saints and bring them into bondage for 7 years. And that's the way it was in Jesus' day too. The Romans ruled. They ruled by the force of weapons over God's people. And there was a rebellion against. There were lots of rebellions against the Roman rule by the people of God, whom God had told to submit. But they wouldn't submit. They were rebelling. And Barabbas, of course, was a patriot who fought for the Jews against the Romans and killed the Romans. And Paul, as we spoke a while back, Paul was accused of being that Egyptian who led the 400 assassins out into the wilderness, right? So they were having a rebellion against the Roman government. We're going to have a rebellion of Christians against the this government. Well-meaning Christians are going to rise up and fight against this government to try to preserve their nation, they think. But this is not our nation. Never was our nation. See? They're going to try to preserve this nation. Violent among thy people will raise themselves up to fulfill the vision, but they shall be broken. That's what Daniel says. That happened with the Jews. It's going to happen with the Christians. They're going to rise up to fight against this nation, and they're going to be broken. Okay? And the paranoia spirit that's going on out there, that's telling them all about these conspiracies. The Bible says, don't speak concerning the way this people speak, saying conspiracy. But, you know, don't worry about that. There is one that rules over all. That's our God. That's why Jesus knew he didn't have to worry about the government. He only needed to worry about getting the gospel out, the good news out. He didn't get into God's business. He stayed in the business that God gave him. And that's what we need to do. We need to just stick with what God has given us to do. Obey his commands. He didn't tell us to try to take over the government.